Good evening.
Good evening.
What a wonderful day we've had. Number of visitors today, and they all said kind of the same thing, that they were glad to have been here, that what a wonderful, warm, welcoming church you've got. They're talking about you. And just a good pat on the back for you guys. Couple reminders we need to keep. Tana and Puka in our prayers. They're both home, not feeling well. Also, Lydia is homesick today, so we need to remember her. It's going around. I tell you, I'm blowing my nose crazy. Feel fine. I look wonderful. But I'm starting to get the no rebuttals. Oh, that's right. Emily and little Lexi, they're homesick. And so we need to remember them. If you want to follow along with where we're reading, we'll be in Philippians, the second chapter. The verses will be on the screen up here if you want to look at that or you can follow along in your Bible. Last week, or the last couple of times, we've been looking at chapter 1. Again, Paul wrote to the Philippians from Rome in a jail cell. And the when, the where, the why, a lot of times adds that seasoning to the words that are written. You know, talking about the joy and fellowship. Here he is in a jail cell, but he can say those things. And starting off in chapter 2, he says, and he had just finished talking about these things have happened for a good reason, about me being in jail, that it's turned out for good. And now he's getting into chapter 2, and he says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. He starts this off and he's saying, if there's any consolation, and he knows there is, and they know there is, if there's any fellowship, and there is, if you've got any affection and mercy, which I know you do, fulfill my joy. These people were very dear to him. And he was to them. He says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. He's not saying like all the same things, everybody like the same Chinese food that Brandon likes, don't like the same Westerns that me and Dick like, don't have the same pastimes. He's talking to people just like us, of different backgrounds, of different ages, of different upbringings, but the common thread that runs through it all, the gospel. Be of one mind, be like-minded religiously. It's not, Christianity is not, well, I think this, you think that I'm okay, you're okay. It's there is truth. Follow that. Be like-minded. I look at just this audience, the different ages, genders, interests, but we are bound together. The great equalizer, the gospel. And he's saying, fulfill my joy. Because if you're splintered, and if there's religious bickering and quarreling amongst you, and you're not united as a group religiously, I don't have joy. They loved him. And those words were very powerful. Those words were very powerful. He says, you fulfill my joy by being like-minded. And I'm sure the first time they heard that, okay, we got it. You know, nobody wanted to disappoint Paul. He was so special to them. Goes on to say, and I'll tell you, this verse here, if we did more, and just isn't, not us pointing fingers or nothing, but if we as Christians did more of this one verse, man, we'd be unstoppable. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. That's true love. That's the kind of love Jesus tried to teach as Christians. To put others ahead of you. That is right the opposite of worldly standards. Mm-hmm. Worldly standards is get yours while the getting's good. Do unto others before they have a chance to do it to you. That's the world. And let nothing that we do be done through selfish ambition. And people in general sometimes do good things through selfish ambitions. For the show of it. They do something for the tax break. I'm not saying that that's wrong. But don't let your deeds as a Christian have ulterior motives. Or don't do it out of conceit. It says, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. And that is so foreign to so many people, putting others first. Putting others first. I'm an old football fan, and there was a running back years ago. Many of you have probably saw the movie Brian's Song. Gale Sayers had a book, I Am Third. God first, my family second, and I'm third. A lot of times we put things right down. Other people get us, including God, after I take care of myself. After I get the things done for myself, I'll give God my leftovers. I'll give my family my leftovers. I'll give my friends my leftovers. But I come first. And if we did that, this is one of the messages, even though it was written by Paul, this is one of the messages Jesus emphasized. He taught it. He modeled it. Didn't ask, and Paul didn't ask people to do anything that he himself wasn't willing to do. In Matthew 6, verse 1, we'll be hitting this in a couple of weeks in our Sunday morning Bible class. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. And going back to that last, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Jesus taught that on the Sermon on the Mount. Make sure when you do good things, what the motive is. That it's for others. That it's not to be seen by others. Otherwise, that's going to be your full reward. You know, we're not storing up, jewels for our crown if we're doing it for that pat on the back and to be seen by men. That pat on the back's going to be it. Jesus says in verse 6 of this chapter, he uses the same idea in regards to prayer. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites that like to stand on the corner and give these nice big public prayers. Why? To be seen by men. I love the prayers offered by the men of this congregation. They are from the heart. They're all different. Every man has a different style, per se, but they are from the heart. And in verse 6 of Matthew 6, Jesus is saying, don't pray like the hypocrites who do it to be seen by men. And then a few verses later, he uses the same concept about when you fast. Don't do it to be seen by men. Putting on a long face and, oh, I'm so hungry. I did tell you that I'm fasting for God, aren't I? You know, that's it. That reward. Oh, what a good Christian. You're sacrificing so much. You already got your reward when somebody says that. And Paul understood that, and he's talking to the Philippians about this very same concept that Jesus had talked about in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 23, I want to do a sermon on this chapter one of these days, a Sunday morning. This is one of those double barrel chapters. Jesus unloads both barrels in public on the scribes and the Pharisees, who was doing everything to be seen by men, and Jesus is calling them on the carpet for it. He calls them whitewashed tombs. He calls them hypocrites, brood of vipers, all of that. But in Matthew 23, verses 25 through 27, he says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish. We were talking about this just the other night. You cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Amen. It goes on in verse 27, he says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Mm-hmm. That's what Paul is talking about. Don't let the things that you do be done from selfish ambition or conceit. Even though this is separated by a few decades here of what he's writing, this is the same thing Jesus taught, you know, during his ministry. In 1 Corinthians 13, we call it the love chapter. And it starts off at the beginning. Paul is writing to the Christians in Corinth, and he's talking about love and motive. And I think of what he wrote to the Philippians about don't do things out of selfish ambition or conceit. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Just noise, clattering. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. We've talked about this concept before. Some people do things out of selfish ambition, and it doesn't mean that the people that are getting the benefit of it, they get the benefit. Mm-hmm. But it's not doing you any good if you don't have the right motives, the right love. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. Paul goes on to say in verse 4 of Philippians 2, and here's another one, that if we did this verse only, we would be better Christians. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Mm-hmm. This congregation does that. We may be in the midst of turmoil or something ourselves, and thinking about the other. I had a brother and sister today do an unbelievably nice thing for me and Stacy, just purely out of love. Pure, no strings attached, nothing but other than love. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. We are on a journey to heaven. And when one of our brothers or sisters stumble, it's okay for us to stop our journey and to pick them up. Amen. We know we're going to keep going, but we're going to stop and pick them up. That's looking out for the interest of others. Goes on to say in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Those few verses right there say an awful lot. Paul is saying, if you want an example to follow, you follow the example of Christ. He was God. And he came down here and he didn't act it other than the doing good works. He sure didn't live a lavish life. He wasn't wearing the latest fashions. He wasn't living in a mansion or a palace. He said at one point, I don't even have a place to lay my head. He didn't flaunt who he was. Even on the cross, when they were mocking him. Oh, you say you're the Son of God? Well, if you can't, bring yourself down. I'm glad it wasn't me up there. Well, one, me being up there would have done no good. Oh, you want to see what I got? Okay, I'll throw it out. He could have been zapping and zipping them right and left. He didn't do it. He was obedient. And it says he humbled himself and became obedient in numerous ways. Not only he modeled the behavior. Jesus never asks us to do anything that he himself did not do or willing to do. He didn't ask us to go above and beyond what he did. He was the ultimate sacrifice. And he displayed obedience. Obedience to God, obedience to death. Chances are none of us will ever have to face that question of giving our life for Christ. We are required to live our life for Christ every day. But chances are we will never have to risk losing our life. Although there are people in other parts of the world this very minute that may be meeting together secretly because they are legally not allowed to meet together. And when they get together, they're running the risk of being arrested, being jailed, or maybe even being killed. In 2023, not the dark ages, you know, not long ago, right now. It's sometimes hard to remember because we're so removed from other parts of the world. We're going to stop there tonight. We will continue on the next opportunity I have in a few weeks. We will pick up there in verse 9. Philippians is a wonderful book. It takes maybe 15 minutes to read it. Take a few minutes and just this week read through. Just read Philippians. You will be blessed. If you need to respond to the invitation is always open. If you need to put your Lord on in baptism to forgive your sins, wash away your sins, if you need prayers of the congregation, if you need to publicly repent of sin, if your sin has been public, involving others, and you need to publicly repent, we have the opportunity to do so. If your sin is private between you and God, repent right there from your seat. It's between you and God. If it's public, it needs to have a public repentance. Whatever we can do for you, please come forward while Daryl leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand and sing.
Or Kurt.
Or excuse me, Kurt.
I know who I am.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.